This podcast was recorded on the lands of the Boon Wurrung people of the Kulin Nation, the land on which we're lucky enough to raise our sons and daughters. Always was and always will be Aboriginal land.
This episode of Ready or Not is brought to you by Mukti Organics, results-driven, award-winning skincare made with certified organic ingredients and powerful actives.
I feel like every time I moved jobs, I would lose a bit of confidence. But I just feel like I never really was that passionate about any of my jobs. My priorities changed, what I love changed. I took some people shopping and was like, I think I could make something from this. I wasn't prepared for the massive identity shift of becoming a mum. I have had people cry to me on, you know, consults and just like, I just think the common thing is that people have a baby and they lose themselves, their body changes.
After bouncing between jobs that didn't quite bring the career passion and satisfaction that we're meant to chase after in our 20s, when Liv Brown was pregnant with her first, she thought that motherhood was going to be her thing. But while she loved her boy and dedicated a lot of time to him, she needed a creative outlet too. And so she started posting about fashion and styling on her Instagram account, Rattle Style. She wasn't necessarily targeting mums, but helping mothers find their style and their new uniform when it feels like everything else about them has changed quickly became her thing. Her profile is building and she's excited by the success. But as she prepares to become a mother of two, she's experiencing the frustration and overwhelm that so many mothers face when your career starts to pick up just as you're deep in the trenches of motherhood. Here, we talk about how she turned her creative outlet into a job, how she's feeling about becoming a mother of two, what making work work looks like when your partner works 6 days a week, and how to find your personal style after becoming a mum. I'm Lucinda, this is Ready or Not, and here is the colourful and creative Liv Brown. Liv, I met you recently for another project that you were styling that I was part of. And you were talking about the fact that the timing has been quite wild in that you've got your second baby coming soon. You're 35 weeks pregnant and Rattle is really starting to take off.
Yeah.
If you could describe that feeling from that career lens, we know you're excited to meet your baby, but if we look specifically from that career lens, tell me one word to describe how it's making you feel that these two things are coinciding.
Oh, that is a good question. Probably overwhelmed and underprepared, but also in the best possible way. So that was two words.
I love that. Every time I say that, the person at the other end is like, I have more than one word. There are no rules here. So we're going to get into that a bit more specifically later, but let's take it back to the start. You leave school. Talk us through your career pre-motherhood.
My career, it's been all over the place. Honestly, I feel like I've tried everything. I've studied a million courses. I won't even bore you with the list, but I always wanted to be in fashion. I always loved, like, that was my creative outlet. I loved styling and fashion and clothes and all of those kinds of things. But I just feel like I never really was that passionate about any of my jobs. I fell into sales. Actually, this is a back end way. I actually was a beauty therapist for a little bit, just fun, spray tanning, waxing kind of thing. And I fell into sales. I was like, I don't want to work weekends anymore. I want the 9 to 5, Monday to Friday, proper job, make money, blah, blah, blah. And I fell into sales and it was a very short stint of selling like laser machines and things like that. And I won't drop the company name, but it was quite toxic. And I just did not like anything about the workplace I was working in. I feel like it scarred me a little bit from big workplaces.
Yeah.
I just got really like
jaded almost.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, I don't like that. And I got really like nervous to kind of go through that again. Anyway, from there, I ended up doing the same thing, but working in sales, like wholesale fashion. And I loved it. And I was selling brands and, you know, it was quite creative. And I was on the back end of like even helping with some design of some brands, and I loved it. But again, it was kind of like, this might actually sound really bad, I just don't think I like working for people, but I feel like I'm a good team, you know, I'm good in the team and everything, but I just like,
you want to run your own ship though.
Yeah. So I started a brand with a friend, which was so much fun. We had a fake fur brand and we sold it overseas. She's like amazing with wholesale and everything. So she kind of like ran the ropes there and I was more the creative side of it all. And then COVID happened, blah, 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 boring, boring, boring. And I just think we kind of lost passion for it. And really, at the end of the day, I just wanted to become a mom. And I just was like, I'm sick of all this. I just want to have a baby and be a mom and start that journey of my life. So I got pregnant with Gussie while I still had the brand. And I think my passion, I wasn't prepared for the massive identity shift of becoming a mom. I just was like, yeah, I'll have a baby. It'll be easy. None of my friends had babies. Like, I have a beautiful sister-in-law who has four. So I did see like the end of it from her side, but I was prepared, but I just wasn't expecting the massive identity change. And I thought I'd still be obsessed with this brand. My life kind of wouldn't change apart from I'd have the baby and become a mom. Had Gus, and I feel like my life flipped upside down in the best possible way, but it was just like my whole identity changed, my priorities changed, what I love changed. I realized there was a massive gap in the market with like postpartum care. And I actually think there's been such a change in the past. Even Gus is 2.5. And I just think even now there's so much more out there to help mums. But I felt a bit like isolated. I had a great postpartum experience, but I did feel pretty isolated and felt like that we should be getting more support. So I originally actually wanted to start a mother's group kind of thing. I wasn't sure. I just had all this like creative energy to start something to help mums. I don't know. I laughed about it. I actually think it was like hormones. I felt like a massive pull to really start something that's going to support mums. But then I was like, okay, I don't know who I think I am. I've never started a mother's group kind of thing. I met all these new mums. I even found myself reaching for old gym clothes, leaving the house, like not feeling like myself. And I was like, oh, maybe I can do something here. And had lots of conversations with other mums feeling the same. And I felt like everyone kind of felt like they lost their identity, didn't know how to dress anymore. So yeah, that's kind of how it happened. I took some people shopping and was like, I think I could make something from this.
I moved around a lot through jobs in my 20s as well. And it was always ultimately in the same sort of industry, but it did make me think, like, stop moving around. Why can't you just find your thing? Did you have frustrations with that? Or do you think because you wanted to be a mum, that sort of felt like the end goal and these were just means to end jobs?
No, I definitely had frustrations. I feel like every time I moved jobs, I would lose a bit of confidence. And I was like,
yes,
I felt so much pressure to be like, you know, just to stick at a job, grow in that role, make money. And I don't even know where the pressure was coming from, to be honest. It would be just from myself. But I kept losing confidence. And I just honestly just was not. And in hindsight now, looking back, I just wasn't passionate about any of it.
Mm.
So maybe, and I have always been maternal, always wanted to be a mum. My mum was, since mum got pregnant, she was a housewife. And so I was kind of like, you know what, maybe that's my calling and maybe that's just what I want to do. My husband's got a really intense job. Maybe I'll just have the kids and, you know, make our life easier that way. But things change once you have the kid and realize.
They're a lot of work.
Yeah, exactly.
Going to work is quite a breeze. So then tell us about Rattle. How do you get it off the ground and how much of it is just as you go versus a bit of a business plan and being strategic in what you're going to do?
So originally at the start, it was just a creative outlet. I didn't even think it wasn't about the money. To be honest, it's actually still not about the money. Also, I'm not even really making that much money. definitely not about
one
the money.
One day, baby, one day.
Yeah. But it's more, and honestly, this is like not to get deep, but I actually feel like I went through postpartum, had Gus, became a mom, and I was like, it rattles almost like an escape for me. I'm obsessed with it. I feel like men have hobbies. Like my husband loves footy. He's obsessed with sport. He's got all these hobbies. My hobbies were like going for a wine with a friend or going shopping. Like, I don't know. I feel like this is my hobby and I'm obsessed with it. And it is like a break and it's kind of like an escape from my reality.
Yeah. So that's how it started.
That's how it started. And then I just got obsessed with it. And then I didn't do this like massive business plan and, you know, make all these, I don't know, I don't even really know how to do a business plan, but now it's picking up. Now it's more strategic and I've got some more things in place, but that's kind of been a recent thing and that wasn't really the plan.
So tell us about your offering then and what you do on social media too. For anyone that has not come across your work, what is the Rattle brand and what is the offering?
So I'm a personal stylist for mums. I've got packages on my website basically for mums that feel like they've lost their style. They either have an event to go to, they want a new wardrobe, they need help with their mum uniform, anything to do with style, I can do personal styling with them and help them build their new wardrobe. And I also launch on the first of each month a package called Mummy Mode, which is basically a shoppable PDF where you can help curate your mum uniform. It just kind of inspires mums to get dressed every morning so that they feel good and not kind of put themselves last in terms of just grabbing whatever they find in their wardrobe and not feeling good throughout the day.
And so you start to put this content out to the world, and I'm sure it's a slow build at the start and now you're really starting to gather momentum. What were you noticing people were coming to you for? What were their reflections, even just on themselves as a mum and what they needed and what they were missing and what was frustrating them?
So originally, it wasn't for mums. Originally, when I started Rattle, I didn't want to be exclusive. I actually didn't even really know that many mums, and I was like, I'll do it for anyone. And then I just found when I did come across mums and my clients were mums, I loved it. And it actually got, it was like, I have had people cry to me on in our consults. And I just think the common thing is that people have a baby and they lose themselves, their body changes, and they just do not know how to dress themselves anymore. They've got a wardrobe full of like gym clothes, work clothes, going out clothes, and just not for their like day-to-day mum life. So my most popular package is, it's called Down to the Core, and it's mums that just need to like change their wardrobe for what their new lifestyle.
And how does that process actually work? A mum comes to you, is there a questionnaire? What do you go through?
Yes. So they'll inquire with me and I'll send them a questionnaire and we'll do a Zoom call just to get to know what they want. I'll understand more of their personal style. If they're struggling with that, we can talk through that and I can help them try and find their personal style. And then I'll go off, do the fun part, source some clothes. This is all online. Put like 5 outfits into a PDF for them, send it back, and we just go back and forth as they're purchasing the outfits until they're completely happy with their 5 new outfits.
That is so good. I think I'll have to come to you one day in the near future, maybe when you return to work after your baby.
Yes.
So Gus is only in a little bit of care, I believe. How are you making work work with, I think, only about 2 half days of childcare?
Oh, I am not. No, I'm...
You and me both.
Yeah, I just, it's working. I am definitely needing to like rest and actually think about myself a little bit more. I think we just weren't prepared for, I wasn't prepared for it to get busy. Our family wasn't prepared for it to get busy. I'm really just working he still naps in the car only. So I'll pick him up from his half day and he'll nap in the car and I'll work. I work when my husband gets home. I'll work on Sundays. It's just, I'm basically just working when I can, when I get a quiet time. But to be honest, I'm all over the place and we need to change things up a bit for this to actually work. But for now, we're just kind of getting by.
For what it's worth, it's similar here. I was working on our go-to guides last night until 10:30 and I looked over and I'd had a Snickers ice cream wrapper, a cup of tea and a glass of wine. And I was like, this is just very unhinged. As I like press shut on the finishing touches of a postpartum planning guide and I'm like, do as I say, not as I do, because I am not taking my postpartum seriously right now. So I'm totally there with you. When you think about having this new baby and a toddler, how do you think you're going to go about making work work? Is there any plans in place or do you think it really will be more of a make it up as you go along?
I feel like you hear so many people say like, this time is so precious when your babies are young, like you don't miss this time, don't miss this time. And I've really got that in the back of my head. Like, I really do, and of course I prioritize Gus at all times and I really want to be able to get the balance right, but I do think I really want to spend my postpartum and even a bit after really with this new baby. Like, I gave Gus so much of my time when he was young. I just feel like I know that I'll feel really guilty if I don't do the same with this baby, and I want to do the same with this baby. So it's kind of worked out well that Rattle has grown to this particular point now, and then I am going to kind of pull back a little bit. I've got a wait list for clients and I am going to try and take it slow and just kind of soak in the baby bubble with this second baby. But then definitely more, well, Gus will be in kinder this baby will probably go into care earlier. Then I put Gus into care and we'll make some changes. Maybe a nanny or something one day a week. I'm not quite sure. I need to think about it. But I do want to take a breath and really soak in the newborn bubble.
And in your mind, I'm thinking it might be a wait and see game, but when do you think in your head would be the right time for you to start consulting online, for example?
The thing is, I'm just not good at relaxing. Like I'm always out of the house. Like I do want to rest. And like, obviously after I've given birth, like look after my body and things, but I'm kind of hoping that I'll be back doing online things quite quickly. Like I love it. It doesn't feel like work for me. It's like, I'm either going to be watching something on Netflix or I'll be shopping for a client. So I just feel, I do think, honestly, I'll sit down at night and I actually prefer to do rattle work than watch something on Netflix. So I'm hoping that feeling stays the same and I'll be back doing clients quite soon, just because it doesn't stress me out. But the things that stress me out are the things that I'm going to put on the back burner a little bit.
And what are those? Talk us through those.
Probably more like in-person things, public speaking. Like I don't want to say no to anything, but I think I'll do all the online work that I can do at home while my kids are still young. And then all the in-person things, I'm going to start doing like wardrobe cleanses with people and things like that. But I'll keep that for when my kids are a little bit older.
And I'm working a bit differently in my second postpartum, probably a bit like you, whereas I had a traditional mat leave the first time. This time I have worked about 5 to 10 hours a week, basically, since Posey was a newborn. I have 3 days of childcare for my son, so that does obviously help. And when they're young, they do a lot of sleeping. So I just pick it in those moments and then I'm present with her. Sometimes I get the guilt because I think you are working very early. You shouldn't be working at all. But then I sort of check myself and think this is part of a bigger goal, so that I don't have to do other work later and this is the only work, and to try and create this lifestyle for myself so that I can be there for my kids. Do you get those sort of toing and froing between those feelings of guilt and then realizing you're ultimately doing this so that you can, I guess, serve your passions in a way that works around your family?
I think I definitely want to be better with boundaries. I need to have my days. Gus is home on a Tuesday and Wednesdays, they need to be my Gus's days. And I need to get to the point where I'm not even answering emails on those days, but that's probably a long way to come.
Yeah.
I more so think I need this for me and to make me a happier person. I'm a better wife, probably mainly, if I have this creative outlet. And then, yeah, I think it fills my cup. So I'm not going to be pouring from an empty cup if I am just putting all my needs last.
And how have you gone about preparing for birth and postpartum this second time around? Often hindsight can be quite a beautiful thing in that we learn a lot the first time around for what we actually need. Has there been anything that stuck out for you that you need this time around?
Oh, it's the difference is insane. From first to second, I was very prepared for birth for my first baby. My mother-in-law is a midwife. I'm so lucky. So I was like, felt like I had birth down pat, but I didn't do much thought into postpartum this time around, because I'm having another boy as well. I feel like I don't actually need anything. There's little things like I'm going to get a different kind of pump because I don't really like my pump, but this is probably not a good thing to say, but I feel like I haven't really thought about it.
Yeah. Well, you're too busy because you have a child.
I'm busy, but I also feel really at ease with it. Like I've done it before. I can do it again. Obviously I know that babies are so different, so I'm probably going to laugh at myself listening back to this after I give birth, but I'm hoping to do everything the same as I did with Gus. But yes, I probably do need to start thinking about it a little bit more, but we are organized, but we kind of already had everything. So this time around, I'm hoping to not obsess over sleep and obsess over naps and things like that, just because I won't be able to. But no, I feel quite at ease with the second time around. I'm going to listen back and laugh at this.
During both of my pregnancies, I found myself constantly on the hunt for pregnancy-safe skincare that would actually do something, especially that second time around when I'd really noticed some changes. And Mukti's skincare range is exactly that. Experience gentle yet powerful results with Mukti's anti-aging vitamin A serum. One of the first Australian Cosmos certified organic 100% botanical based retinol, not retinols, that is clinically proven to work 11 times faster than standard retinols. Unlike regular vitamin A's, you can use this serum at any time of the day without the risk of irritation, and it's even safe for use during pregnancy. The Wonder product has launched this week and is available to shop now at muktiorganics.com. That's Mukti spelt M-U-K-T-I.
And what about food? Because that's a big one for me, is that maybe I'm a princess, but I just refuse to cook for the first 6 weeks, essentially. Have you got anything in place there? Any companies, any meal trains, family?
We do. No, we're actually going to buy an outdoor fridge and freezer because we found that with the first.
Brilliant idea.
Yeah. We're doing like all this meal prepping because I already hate cooking as it is. I'm not cooking. Now we've got Gus that we actually can't just like, you know, we need to think about actually feeding him good food. So we're going to have outdoor fridge, outdoor freezer, and we're going to completely stock that up. Actually, you know what? One thing we did do for preparation was we did our backyard and we've made our backyard all baby friendly. We're implementing more things for Gus.
Yes.
That's the difference this time around. I've sorted out Gus's wardrobes. I feel like I'm more nesting for him so that I'm like, that releases some stress and I can focus on the baby a bit more.
I remember in the lead up to Posey having similar thoughts of, oh, Ray needs to eat dinner every night. Even if we're a bit loose and we eat dinner at 9 or whatever, he still needs bed, bath. Let's think of that order. That's the total opposite order. He needs dinner, bath and bed still every night. So it's interesting the things you think about. What are you most nervous, maybe not nervous, but what are you most intrigued, nervous, scared about from going from 1 to 2?
I've been noticing Gus is obviously noticing, sensing the change. So he's just been all over the place. He's never really been clingy just to me. Like he just as much wants Charlie and me. That's never been an issue with us. And he's so mum now, like coming into my bed every night. I have to put him to bed. I have to be reading him books and everything like that, which is right now I'm actually enjoying it because I'm like, oh, this is our last like couple of, well, what, 6 weeks of just us. But I am just thinking, oh my gosh, how am I going to be able to do this when I've got a newborn? So they're my stresses are really all around him and how he's going to be feeling. I have a bit of guilt there, actually. I'm like, oh, he's going to be shocked.
It's emotional at the start. I'm not going to pretend it's not. And then one day I think you say goodbye to them when they go off to care or whatever it is, or your partner takes him out and you all of a sudden just, I think, stop feeling that guilt because your family at the moment feels like a family of three. And then I think for a period it does almost feel like there's this little intruder and then all of a sudden one day it's your family of four and it's back to normal. But I didn't quite anticipate some of those emotions around that. Like my partner is so amazing with Ray that I didn't anticipate that I would want to be there for him because I thought, oh, he'll have him covered. But that doesn't really allow that room for, oh, he's still my firstborn and I love him. So there are definitely emotional times, but all of a sudden one day it clicks. So hopefully that gives you some comfort.
I also haven't had a night away from Gus and it's like on my to-do list because I'm like, he needs to have a sleepover somewhere because he's going to be having a sleepover when I give birth. And it's like I'm just kicking the can down the road, but I need to do it.
I cannot recommend that enough because Ray has had a few grandparent sleepovers even just in the early days of Posey. And also, as you say, when you're physically in hospital giving birth, and it is a game changer having those nights. And I think a nice thing to remember is your second child deserves that too, having those nights of just both his parents with him. So I cannot recommend that enough. I think you should definitely do that. What do you think about birth this time around? Again, the beauty and pain of hindsight. How are you feeling about giving birth round two?
I actually, I'm surprised because after I gave birth the first time, I was like, looked at Charlie and said, I will never, ever, ever do that again. But the hormones have kicked in and I feel like almost excited. So I just need to focus on getting this baby head down because Gus flipped transverse. This baby's done the same thing. I went to a midwife appointment yesterday. So hopefully it all works out, but I feel quite at ease with it. But you know what? In saying that, a week before I'm giving birth, I'm probably going to start freaking out. But for now, I feel like I've done it once. I can do it again.
100% right. You can do it. It's exciting. It's wild, but it's pretty amazing. And you're going to meet your baby at the end of it. So that's pretty damn cool.
I think I know the reward now.
Yeah, that's so true. At least you know what's on the other side. I couldn't picture Ray when I was giving birth now that you say that. I just couldn't picture the reward that was coming after that wild pain. So it is something thinking about the baby at the end of the picture. What do you feel most nervous about in terms of specifically making work after this baby? So this time around, you've got a business that's really starting to flourish. You're really excited about it. You sort of don't want to tap out from our conversations, I've noticed. You will, because you know that you need to honour your journey and all of that. But I feel like if it was up to you, you'd just keep working. So how are you feeling in that regard?
I feel a little bit stressed about that because it was so different with Gus. With Gus, I was like, couldn't be more excited to start working. I stopped so early. I was like, I need to rest. Stopped with like 5 months to go to get ready for this baby. But this time I do feel it's this pull because I don't want to stop and I won't stop. I'm still going to be doing mummy mode. I'm still going to be uploading content. And like the best part about it is that all my stuff is about mums and I will be able to talk about what I'm wearing postpartum and things like that. But I do, it's a massive, massive change. So I am thinking, how am I going to make this work as well? Because I'm just also, it's the unknown. Like, I don't know what this baby's going to be like. It's a second time mum, so maybe I won't be as stressed about them not breathing, just like everything. So I'm hoping it just works. And I just feel in my gut that it's just going to work, but I know there'll be quite a few mental breakdowns on the way.
The beauty of your work and my work is a lot of it can happen from the bed, which is basically how I've done most of the work for the last 10 weeks. The only time you see me sitting at a desk is really for recording or doing any intros or sponsored content.
Yeah.
So just do it in the bed and I think you'll be right. I have a feeling we operate in a similar way. Your partner works 6 days a week, you told me. What's been the biggest challenges with that?
I think his hours are insane, and because he's the breadwinner, like, he supports our family, he's amazing, he's such a hands-on dad like when he is home, but his hours are crazy. The hardest thing with that is that I feel like my work starts when he gets home and his hours are always changing. He works Monday through to Saturday. I hate Saturdays.
That's one day too long.
Yeah,
potentially even 2 days too long, the 5 day work week, but that's way too long.
Everyone's busy on the Saturday. Saturdays are, I never enjoy my Saturdays anyway. But I think that the trouble is that I'm always waiting on him to come home so that I can work. And then it's hard not to have a little bit of resentment when I just see him going off to work, working his full day and then able to come home and like shut off and be with Gus. Whereas mine's kind of like, I'm doing it all together I'm not going off to an office and working.
Yeah.
So he gets to have that thing. But obviously he's amazing and he's supporting our whole family, and I couldn't do Rattle without him because I would be having to work. So he's the biggest support, but sometimes I want to, you know, swap places.
Yeah, I know that feeling all too well. And if he's working 6 days and a really present dad when he is home, that doesn't leave much time for the relationship. How have you navigated that?
Oh, we are so bad. Honestly, I think we've had like 2 dates. It's like, our relationship's fine, but it's hard. Like, we've also got really busy social lives, which we've had to sacrifice a lot. And that's one thing, you know, I think just before Rattle started to take off, I actually said to him, something's going to give. I need to actually, there's something that in my life that needs to change for Rattle to actually grow. And it probably has been my social life, which, oh, like, I still see my friends all the time, but like, I used to see them really all the time. So yeah, we're not good. We need to go on more dates. We're not good at leaving Gus for some reason. He just comes everywhere with us. And it's like, we do have good support. I think I find it hard to ask people for help. I feel guilty. I don't know. So if we do go on a date, like, we went out on Saturday night, but Gus was with us. So I think we have such a strong relationship that we're fine without it. But we definitely need to work on going on more date nights. It's hard.
If I could give you one piece of advice over the next 5 weeks, it's start getting better asking for help, because you absolutely need it around two and you deserve it. And if you have a willing village, then absolutely need to take that.
Which we do.
Yeah, you need to call upon them. If you look a year ahead, what is the dream setup for Rattle and, I guess, merging motherhood and career, or navigating motherhood and career?
So I think what I've learned this past 3 months is that I actually don't want to be as busy as I've been. I think I need to start working smarter and not harder, in terms of I've loved how busy I've been, because it's been so exciting and it's made me grow and everything. But I kind of took a step back and was like, this is, I'm not on this planet. I'm like constantly thinking, I'm probably not being that fun to be around, to be honest. So I think in 6 months' time, I want more of a balance. I still want Rattle to be growing and I still want these exciting opportunities, but I think I need to create better boundaries and have solid family time, solid work days, more of a structure.
I'm exactly the same. I just feel like there's things flying everywhere. Like if there was a cartoon of me, there would just be shit flying out of my brain in every direction. And I'd be going at like three times the speed as I am in real life. And my brain would be like a village of chaos. So we'll now go to a few follower questions that we got on our Ready or Not Instagram page. Firstly, this is just a comment, but great way to get started, give you a boost of confidence. Someone said, obsessed with her style, finding so much mum wardrobe inspo, no notes. So that is bloody beautiful.
Oh, I love that. How nice. Thank you.
Love that. Helping the mums out there. So first question, and I can really resonate with this, not quite my postpartum timeline, but still can understand what they're saying. 1 year postpartum and returning to work soon. When do I give up clothes that no longer fit?
I've actually get this question a lot. I've been doing masterclasses lately and each masterclass someone has asked me this. I just think it's such a negative, and I we've all been there, but you open your wardrobe or you do a wardrobe clear out and you're like, oh no, I'm going to keep that because I love it and I'll fit into it one day, I'll fit into it one day. It's like, that's such a crappy feeling to think every single day. I think now's the time to just let it go. And even in, from experience, even if I got back to, for example, the same weight I was with Gus or anything like that, my body's still completely changed. So I think holding on to that old body isn't a healthy headspace to be in. I think it's time to do a bit of a wardrobe clear out.
I love it. So on that note, next question is revamping your wardrobe on a budget.
I think how I would start if I was worried about spending too much time shopping is do a wardrobe cleanse. Shop your own wardrobe before you even go shopping and figure out what you actually need. Also, hot tip for this, don't do this when you're like in the thick of postpartum, sleep deprived, feeling crap. Have a shower and get ready for the day. Maybe try some things on in your wardrobe. Figure out what you need. Do you need long sleeve tops? Do you need some pants? Are they your gaps? And then you can kind of shop smart, try and find some things that are going to get you through the whole year. We've got some great, like, less expensive places. I guess it depends if you're into fast fashion or not, but obviously your H&M's, your Zara, your Uniqlo are all great. Then there's the mid-range of COS, Assembly Label, all those kind of brands. But I think if you start by shopping your own wardrobe, so you're not buying unnecessary things, there are probably pieces in there that you haven't worn that you can then match with the pant, and maybe you don't need the top of the pant because you've already got the top, go and buy a new pair of pants.
That's a great tip. I might even add to that. Tell me if you think this is good. I was just thinking what I also need to do is go through different types of items and styles in my wardrobe and see what still suits my body shape and see what maybe, now that my hips are slightly widened, doesn't look as good. So almost identifying what actually suits you now and forgetting about what doesn't.
Yeah, finding your new outfit formulas. It's almost like once you have a baby, even just your identity, like I just completely changed in what I even wanted to wear. So just really figuring out your personal style so you're not buying things that you're not going to reach for. It's definitely a good way to do it.
Because I always want to go to the vintage shops, but I'm like, when? So I guess if you know what sort of style suits you, you can probably do more online than,
yeah.
Otherwise, I feel like I would need to be in person, if that makes sense, because my body has changed so much.
Yep, yep.
So the next question is a little bit more career focused. This person wants to know if you did any styling courses and exactly how you started.
I actually didn't. I looked lots of them up online. There are some great ones, but I feel like in the jobs that I had before, I was around so much styling. I was around fashion for years and years and years. And I honestly am just addicted to it. I did so much online shopping. I watched YouTube about like fits and figures and all of that kind of thing. So it was kind of like a hobby that I just got obsessed with and maybe kind of just accidentally became an expert in quotation marks. There are great courses. I do think in the styling world, it's a bit old school. Like I looked up lots of the courses because it's more for imposter syndrome really, that I was like, I felt like I needed to do a course to just say I've done a course. I looked them up and kind of learned more about them. And I'm like, they're very old school in terms of like this is what you should wear if you're a pear shape to look skinny and flattering. And I don't believe in that. I'm more about empowering women, helping them figure out what makes them feel confident and what to wear. And that's not what the courses are kind of teaching us. I do want to do a color analyst course.
Yeah, they look cool.
So I can match people's colors because that's something I'm really into. That's TBC. That's actually on my to-do when I'm in postpartum, which is hilarious.
To do when I have two kids under three.
Yeah, exactly. But no, in short, no, I didn't do a course. And yeah, it was kind of because I feel like they're a little bit outdated.
How to dress in Melbourne winter when pregnant. So hard to look cute in so many layers.
I love winter fashion's my favorite and I'm obsessed with it. I think it is hard when you've got a massive bump and you're feeling big, like I'm about to be in the biggest part of my pregnancy and it's starting to get cooler. I would recommend wearing really, they're from H&M, high-waisted, loose track pants, but nice ones, they're wide leg. Wearing like a tighter top, like a singlet or something, and then just layering with open cardigans that show your bump, open coats. I think I actually prefer dressing pregnant in winter than summer. I found it a little bit easier because you can.
So do I.
Yeah, you can layer with open, or you can wear like a tight long sleeve dress if you wanted to show off your bump, but then just layer with a big open coat.
I love that. I was the same.
Also, just accessorizing, like adding fun scarves. If you're wearing even like a matching set or something, adding a fun scarf, if you want a beanie, just rugging up in that kind of way.
And last question, how to shop for postpartum style while being environmentally conscious and avoiding fast fashion?
Environmentally conscious. I think that there's lots of options now. Actually, Fashion Journal always do good articles on like places to shop that are actually environmentally friendly, because I know a lot of brands like to just say that they are, but they're not actually. So if you have a look on Fashion Journal, I can give you a list of brands. But again, with the vintage clothes, like especially when I'm thinking postpartum, I'm thinking oversized jumpers. It's you're probably staying home. You've got your like leggings on or your trackies on, just really comfy. There's so many, and online as well, so many online vintage stores that you can buy like really cool old Ralph Lauren jumpers and things like that and dress in that kind of way.
And I guess that's where companies or apps like Depop come into it. And it's about, I guess, maybe going into your own wardrobe again, identifying what sort of cuts and what styles feel good, and then shopping them secondhand.
Yeah, exactly.
They are some really great tips. I thought it'd actually be quite hard to answer those questions when you don't know the exact people, but you did very well.
Thank you.
Liv, I absolutely love what you're doing. Your message of empowering mums and women in general is amazing. If people want to find you online, where do they go?
I'm on Instagram @rattle_style. I'm also on TikTok, but like don't really look at that because it's kind of embarrassing that I need to grow out a bit more, but I am on.
And how are you finding TikTok firstly? Because I just can't quite approach that beast. I'm too nervous to get on TikTok for Ready or Not.
Oh, no. Don't be nervous, because it's very like, it's actually, I'm more confident on TikTok. I don't really care what I say or do, but I just am not a TikToker. Like I feel really old when I'm on it. I need to, again, on my list. I do need to grow it. I know I do, but I'm an Instagram girl.
TikTok would be a good fashion community, I imagine.
I know, but there's just, I just never think to like put up my camera and film. Like I need to do it. I'm going to start doing it. Watch this space.
While we're here, I actually have one last question for you, because it's something that I really struggle with. How do you feel about putting yourself out there? Because you need to in order to grow your business. People love people. They want to see you. They want to hear from you if they're going to trust you and the services you offer. How do you feel about putting yourself out there? Because I cringe any time that I put myself out there on socials at all, and I find it really hard. And I know I've hampered the growth of this podcast because I'm not willing to put myself out there.
I cringe. Like I look back at old videos and I'm like, oh my gosh, like who do I think I am? And I think what I did, this is, and you might find the same, I tried lots of different style videos, and there are ones that I just will not do. Like I have to be talking to the camera and like explaining myself, get dressed, and I don't feel as cringe. I'm kind of like, you know what, I'm just whatever. People are going to judge. Like the people probably do judge, and I don't really care. I don't really think about it anymore. I feel good with it now. But there are certain types of videos, and actually one thing I'm navigating at the moment is giftings. I'm not sure if I've actually been saying no to some. It's not me. I don't know about, like, I don't know. The whole gifting thing is a bit like
uncharted territory.
Yeah, feels weird. So I think just finding what you're comfortable in doing.
Okay, I'm going to take your advice there. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast today.
Thanks for having me. It was so fun.
Thanks for listening to Ready or Not. If you liked the show, please tell your friends, subscribe, or write a review. You can also find us on Instagram at readyornot.pod. That's it for today. We'll see you next time.